Okay, everyone. You're listening to Tango Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. We're going to go ahead and start with the show. And because we're just a little behind, we'll catch up on everything. Today is Wise Wednesday. We have Brother Davis that's with us. And we're going to be speaking and hearing from Brother Davis. Also, Dr. Hawkins should be calling in at any moment. Doc, when you call in, just put yourself in queue. Just hit star 61. See you in queue and bring you up. So, everyone, today is February the 24th, 2016. We have a live show for you today. It's Wise Wednesday. It's one of my favorite days of the week to spend and hear from Brother Davis, and Brother Davis is in queue. But before we do that, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You know what we say at the beginning of every show, if you can make monetary donations, please make monetary donations so that we can continue to have Black Talk Radio Network growing and providing you with the things that you need. And be a part of it all. If you have a professional service that you can provide the network so that it doesn't have to hire outside, do a pro bono, donate your time, donate your professional experience and professional service. This way we can all grow together, and you never know, this could be something that you can fall into because of your overall passion, and it can lead to other things. So if you can, make monetary donations, donate your time, donate your professional services, donate whatever it is that you can. If you have an event that you're going to be hosting or you would like to host an event that Black Talk Radio Network can participate in with some of its programs, reach out to Scotty and let him know at Black Talk Radio Network. Also, go to Tango Facebook page, Tango Radio Show's Facebook page. That's T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show, and check out some of the things we have posted there. I'm going to just go over quickly some of the articles that are there because we're going to get into today's show. I want a big shout-out and thank you to Sister Davis for that beautiful, beautiful flyer that she made. Sister Davis has some real skills, and we're going to see and utilize Sister Davis's skills here in the very near future for some of the things that we have on the agenda. We definitely, definitely can use some of that talent. And you know, Sister Davis, when she does something, it's with pure love and sincere. She's giving her all, and she is one of the very first people that I really and Brother Davis connected with this whole radio thing. They've been there for me, and the Wren family. We appreciate the Davis family and look forward to working with Brother and Sister Davis in the future. So check out the flyer that Sister Davis posted. I'm going to put it in Tando. Great, great flyer for today's show. I was off line today, so, pretty much today I posted a couple of things, but I wasn't able to. It was short on time because my internet is really shabby here, so it takes me a while to do some things. So I had to get things done, get some things posted, and then get moving. So thank you, Sister Davis. Okay. Inside of Tando Radio Show on Facebook page, a couple of ones that I think are really, really important. I'm going to get to them real quick that you need to know about. Check out the article from, it's a good one. Let me move this down. Really quickly. Brother Braggs posted a good one. We talked about this yesterday, I believe, but it's still there. U.S. sends 5,000 tons of ammunition to Germany. Then there was another one that I posted. This is daily. Turkey border officers cooperate with ISIL. We already know that ISIS, ISIL, all of that is the same thing, and they are part of NATO. Next one comes from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, .org. He has a good posting that's there. The evil empire has the world in a death grip. Very good. And it connects to the economic hitman, from 2004 to 2015 edition of that book from Perkins, John Perkins, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Check out that. That's a good read so that you get an idea, but read between the lines on a lot of that because you have to remember some Perkins came from the overall, that community, and once you're in, you can never leave. So you take everything with a grain of salt there. Then the next article, really good one, is landowners, and this was about the oil companies have not been paying their oil and gas leases, and they've fallen behind in rent in Landowners' complaints rise as oil and gas companies' lease rents fall behind. For the past 5 years, regular as clockwork, an oil and gas company's check for $44,000 has arrived at different people's in Alaska's land, because they were using their land and are moving or using their equipment to go through their land in order to get the oil and gas, and those companies are falling behind. They're not paying their rent and their lease obligations. So check out that article. It says everything about what's going on. The collapse, the economic collapse of Canada is speeding up. I believe that Canada will be on the same timetable as Europe. They will go first. So check out that one. That comes from the Calgary Herald. Next one, really good one, is from Bloomberg. The Secretary of Treasury, Liu, says don't expect crisis response from group of 20, G20 meeting. You really need to listen to that overall interview because they say a lot that's there in the midst of saying nothing, which says everything, but there are some real keys and clues that are said in that. And we'll talk about that later on this week, probably tomorrow or so. Next one, OPEC prices fall as OPEC squabs over output target. Basically, Iran and Iraq said they're not going to participate in the overall trying to put a lid on. Iran and Iraq are going to continue to bring oil to the market, and very, very important, and this is something you should check out. It has real meaning and ramification. Next one, this is a part of the whole thing. Big wobble. Saudi's war with Iran and Russia is imminent. The mystery of the fleeing Saudis. Check out that article. Really good, and that's come from the Big Wobble. Next one comes from posts this one. It comes from the Dallas Morning View blog. It says, response at University of Houston is exactly why we fear campus carry in Texas. And I'm going to tell you, this is the perfect false flag. This has everything to do with people having CCW permits, concealed weapons permits on college campuses. This is a setup for another major false flag, especially since a Supreme Court justice was dealt with and put to sleep permanently, in my opinion, because he died in very mysterious ways. There's no way in the world that what happened with the body after should have happened. It should have been a criminal investigation, and the coroner should have been able to take over that death investigation, because that was classic homicide, but it was covered up because they didn't want you to know who did it. Means, motive, and opportunity, people. Okay, next one comes from the Express.co.uk. And it says, falling like dominoes. Now Holland wants his own referendum on quitting the EU. The EU is falling apart. It is totally, totally, and that's going to bring about the demise and the collapse of the economy here. Brother Bragg's also put that same article about the guns on campus in Texas. Next article comes from, really good one, comes from Superstation95.com. Danger, Saudi Arabian and the United Arab Emirates warn citizens to evacuate Lebanon. Turkish Navy takes up positions. And this is something that you have to really, really pay attention to, because this is going to start, in my opinion, the global nuclear war. This is once they start telling people, citizens, to get out of Lebanon and out of different areas, that's because the overall engagement of war is at hand. Check out that article. Very, very important. We'll talk about this tomorrow also. Next one comes from America is now bombing 7 different countries. Check out that article. We'll also talk about that in the due time tomorrow. Next one comes from, well, this one is about the Pope. Pope's Child Abuse Commission is smoke and mirrors. Check out that. We already know what they're all about there. We've known the history, and then we need to know even more and stop giving blind faith to individuals. Next one, France wages a secret war in Libya. This comes from Veterans Today. And then we have Saudi Arabia on the brink of deterioration. And this comes from Veterans also. Check out that one. And this is a really good one. This is from Sputnik News. Utah man dies in prison for unpaid medical debt. Debtor's prison is coming back. Check out that, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. Also, we have, this is from oilprice.com. Who will be left standing at the end of the oil war? can check that out. So those are the articles you should be checking out. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to start our Wise Wednesdays with Brother Davis, and we should be hearing from Dr. Hawkins at any time. Dr. Hawkins, once you get in, just put yourself in queue, and we will bring you up right away. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. It is brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Davis. I'm glad to have another opportunity on Wednesday to convey something that we all need to apply ourselves in our lives. It just makes us better people. And I was listening to all of the current events that are going on at Tando Radio to keep us abreast of what's happening in the world and how we see ourselves in the world. Before I get into my topic of subjectivity tonight, I do want to remind you that we are going to be blessed by Dr. Hawkins. You're giving us an update on what's going on up in Flint, Michigan. Him being on the front lines offers us a peek into what would not ordinarily be available to us. Not only that, but he comes with a select group of knowledge that not only adds to us and give us an understanding of the purpose of what he's trying to achieve, but it also offers us an avenue to be able to work with him and have a greater understanding of the focus that he brings to that matter. So when he does call in, I will definitely stop where I am in order to give the focus so that we can all become updated on what's going on to our brothers and sisters there. Okay, tonight I wanted to really go into some discussion about personal organization and these times. And the reason why I say these times is because, as you've seen through current events, there's so many things that are happening that psychologically it would have to be a roller coaster to the average person who is not prepared to make these kind of transitions, because they're not being conveyed to you as an opportunity. They're literally letting you know this is a wave that is coming across countries. In each country that it has come across, you've heard about it because it has done something to that country that has made everybody there uncomfortable. Okay? So literally, in their uncomfortness, they're lashing out in many different ways, and some of them are hurting themselves, and some of them are helping themselves. Some of them are building relationships, and some of them are tearing down relationships. But what we have to do is prepare ourselves psychologically as well as independently to prepare for what is about to come. What is so unique about that is that you can prepare yourself as an individual, okay, and then come together as a group and multiply the strength of your personal preparation because you're connecting with other like-minded people. And I'm going to tell you one thing about connecting with people. You are only a stronger chain, but a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And the reason why I point that out is because some of us are prepared mentally and psychologically for the rough times that are ahead. In the immortal words of Dr. Martin Luther King, there's going to be some difficult days ahead. Now, the reason why he was saying that was because he was trying to prepare us that we were going to have to find something in us that we may not look for every day. And I know a lot of you are saying, what do you mean we don't look for it? We don't have to apply it every day. And the reason why we don't have to apply it every day is because in most days we have what's called, or some call, normalcy. And what is normalcy? Well, that means their schedule doesn't change. They know what it is. They fit right in. They operate in it. And so they don't have to worry about something different, something that makes it difficult. But when it does, you have to have the mindset that you can prepare and rise to whatever that difficulty is. So, in some cases, it'll be easy. But in other cases, it's going to require a special seasoning in your character. And that special seasoning that it will require is called courage. That's right. Sometimes when we have to make a decision, we have to make it based on the knowledge that we have of the circumstance that best fits what we need to get out of it. But if we do not have the courage to make the decision in that circumstance, literally we subject ourselves to it. And I know some of you are saying, well, I'm just not going to submit. Well, a lot of times it's just not that easy. And the reason why it's not that easy is because the perspective that you are in may be out of your control. Now, when I say out of your control, well, what if you're walking down the street one day and you have a small child with you, whom, once again, I call treasure, and all of a sudden a hostile situation occurs? What changes the dynamic of you being there alone is that small child. So a lot of times, because of a certain stance like that, a person becomes courageous without thinking, because their concern is about what they treasure, which is that small child. Okay? So in turn, regardless of what is going on in reference to the hostility, they're looking out for what is best for that child. How do I keep this child safe? And a lot of times, self-awareness goes out the window, because courage has the ability to do that. That's right. Make you forget about your own awareness, meaning that, what am I going to do? How do I get out of the way? And think about, how do I save or give what I have to in reference to making sure this child is protected, is saved, is not harmed. You see, even when we make personal changes in life, it requires us to have a certain degree of courage to face up to the fact that these changes need to come. And sometimes we'll sit around and we'll contemplate and wonder, well, you know, do I want to do this or don't I want to do this? What is it going to cost me? Is it going to cost me time? Is it going to cost me anxiety? A lot of times we make decisions in which we don't even consider the courage factor. And that's why we have to give thought in our organization to the courage that we are going to apply so that we can achieve that what it is that is most suitable for us in this circumstance. Now, that circumstance may not only just include you. You see, you could be in your group, and a decision must be made that requires courage, and the people who must make those decisions may number 6, 8, 10, 12 strong. And what's unique about that is that if you cannot come to a point where you all agree on at least to apply whatever it is that needs to be done, you're going to get this, oh, man, look, I can't do that. I can't put myself in jeopardy like that, because some people are not prepared to apply courage in a given circumstance. Now, we cannot judge them. And I keep bringing out about judging people, because you never know when the circumstances that you are facing are going to change. And if they do, you may have to make a decision that's independent of the group if they're not with you. Or if the what is going on in the group is going to affect something or someone you treasure. All of these things play a role in the concept of change. You must have the courage to do the things to make the changes that are necessary. A lot of people fail to realize that courage comes into a lot of forms. Take, for instance, the feeling of fear. Do you act? Do you freeze? You see, the brain goes through a thought process. Can a man be brave when he's really scared? And does he have a one-time opportunity? You see, there are a number of things that require courage to come to the forefront. So if you had to confront something in order to give safety to yourself or to someone else, would require courage. Or take something more common, following your heart. How many times do you know you really want to accomplish something, you really want to do it, but you don't really know if you can? You see, that requires courage too. Because when you face that challenge, you do one of two things. You succeed or you get another attempt. Now, I know some people are probably saying, no, wait a minute. That's really not it. Well, that is really it. Because, see, most people are taught through the psychosis of Westernism that there are only two options. You either succeed or you fail. But that's not true. You see, one who is growing in self knows that even if you do not succeed the first time, you can try again. So you don't actually fail. You just get another opportunity to make that attempt again. It is the psychological mindset that gives awareness to the individual when courage must rise to the top, because he knows why he's been forced here. When I say he knows why he's been forced here, he can only evaluate from the standpoint of which these circumstances have arose, okay? So when he evaluates, he's looking at the decision that is best suited for his circumstance. And that's when courage may be called upon for him to see the greater man or woman that they are than when they look in the mirror. Because, once again, Westernism teaches us that what we see in the mirror is who we are. Well, it's not actually true. You see, what we see in the mirror is the physical reflection of who we are. You see, it only shows the outer shell. It does not show the inside. And the inside is who we are. And that's why all of the Wednesday lessons that I've been coming with is reflecting the inside. Because even in the times of change, economic change, governmental change, environmental change, before you will be reflected on the outside, you must deal with that on the inside. So you must have a process. And a lot of people fail to realize that there is already a process. They just must identify that process. Now, for those of you who are saying, what do you mean there's already a process? Well, when you get up in the morning, do you tell your body what to do? Interesting, isn't it? Your body knows to wake up. The heart knows to pump. The blood knows to flow. The intestines know to process the food that's gone through the process that night, putting it in a position for disposal. And when that alarm goes off, how does your body know? You see, these are the areas in which courage arises from. And a lot of, to many people, these are areas they don't even identify. They just expect them to work. And you know the sad part about that? Is they don't realize that what they do on the external has a great effect on the internal. So if you live a life of fear, when I say a life of fear, I mean you don't like confrontation, you don't want to look anybody in the face, you just don't want to be put in an uncomfortable state of mind. That's a life of fear. So that means that in reality, you really don't want your courage to take place. And that's okay. You're not the only one like that. And there's many people out there who are about to enter the same changes that are coming across the globe will also enter their lives. It will transform some, but it will also demise others. We have to see where we are here. We have to be able to organize ourselves, identify our group, see what our weaknesses are, see what our strengths are, and make decisions based on how they best function for you and how they can meet the needs of the group. Now, the reasons why I say it like that is because, once again, yours are internal and external, and so is the group's. So when the group has to make a decision, that is an internal decision in the group. But when you have to make a decision, that is an internal decision in you. We're trying to get you to realize that you have a multiplicity of agencies working on your behalf at all times. You got your heart, you got your lungs, you got your liver, you got your brain, you got oxygen, you got your respiratory. All these things are a multiplicity of agencies that are working inside of you. That literally, Westernism teaches you have no control over. Sadly enough, many of us had accepted that. Okay, I have no control over it. So if you get sick, you go to what Westernism says you should go to. But what if I told you that you're going to have to learn how to heal yourself? Well, that sounds like an oxymoron, because that's not what you've been taught. You've been taught when you're sick, either go to the emergency room or go to a doctor, but go to somebody who can give you something outside of yourself. The sad part about that is that all they do is give you a remedy for that situation. Okay, what is that? They give you a pill for a headache. They don't give you a solution to your headache. You know why? Because that must come from inside of you. So as long as you keep going outside, you're only going to get what can work on the inside of you on the level of measurement of the outside. You see, they can't tell you that you will get a headache at 6 o'clock and by 6:30, your headache will be gone. You know why? Because they're telling you got to take this. And for this to work, it requires a certain amount of time. But what if I told you that if you got a headache, what you may need is a glass of water? A glass of water? What you talking about? A glass of water. See, sometimes because of what's going on internally, our lack of knowledge teaches us that we should seek something externally. But if we do our own due diligence, we will find that our bodies require something of us. That's right. So if your body's going low on water, now let's understand this, our body's about 87% water. So if it's going low on water, how do you think it's going to tell you? is not going to say out loud. It's going to say through its operation. So internally, you must be able to pick up on different aspects of that operation. So before you could really get an understanding of picking up on those different aspects of operation, you got to get a little bit of understanding on what it is going to require of you to become familiar with your body. Now, one of the basic things that people all over the world know, that in order for the body to survive, you must eat. Yes, that is true. And you know the sad part about that is, most of us are not even aware of what to properly eat to nourish the body. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, this seems simple. But it's simplicity that we've gotten away from. You see, in the early years, when you had a body and you were hungry, you went out in the woods and you got some apples, you got some nuts, you maybe found some berries, or you found some nice greens that were edible and you could make a salad. And if you were fortunate, you found some honey so that you could pour over your salad and nuts, and that was a meal. And you know what was unique about that is that it was a meal that your body could identify when it went in. So that part of your body that you're not aware of starts its process of that food in order to move the nutrients from the food into the different aspects of the body that which the purpose it serves. Now, we can go on and on and on about the body. But what I was trying to get you to understand is your responsibility to understand how the body works. Because, once again, it comes back to how we are organizing our information to best service us, and how we have to make the decisions that will may sometimes require us to be courageous in our circumstance in order for us to get the best result. So we came in talking about if the body got sick, what Westernism teaches us, and what we should be doing naturally. Let me eliminate the word naturally. Now, the reason why I want to eliminate the word naturally, because I want you to identify with an entirely different word. And every time you hear this word, I want you to understand what they mean is natural or natural process. Okay? And the word I want you to identify with is holistic. That means the whole of oneself. Okay? So if I said to you, well, I was reading a book on holistics, you was telling me about the whole of oneself. Now, that might have been the physical part. That might have been the mental part. That might have been the spiritual part. But holistics involves the whole. So all of these here come into play. Why do I bring this up? Because we're moving into some tenuous times, and there may be a point when you are sick. You will not be able to go to a hospital because the hospitals won't be for everybody. You see, they're going to literally price the hospitals so that if you don't come with a resource, you're really wasting your time. And if you don't have what they require, you're not going to get any service anyway. So we need to have an understanding on how we could treat our bodies and be able to work at full maximum potential and be totally healthy and aware that we are totally healthy. And how do we do that? It's not an easy process. But right now there's a plethora of ideas, a plethora of avenues. Right now you got the internet, you got different clubs. When I say clubs, yeah, you can go online and type in holistic groups. And there are many groups. Because we're not the only ones thinking like this. And the reason why we're not is because they may not see the future the way we see the future. And the reason being is because they're a holistic group, they're looking at it from the most holistic perspective. Or, in this term, let me be clear, the natural perspective. Sadly enough, the system that literally is actually imploding knows this. And it knows the strength of holistic wisdom. Because I don't know if you're aware of it, but lately a lot of holistic practitioners or doctors or those people who are educated in holistics, they've been coming on some hard times. Actually, some of them have been outright dying. Many of them, actually, it's an alarming rate. We must take hold of the things and the knowledge that are going to be tools for us in the future. And that is why we must have courage. We must have the courage to do the due diligence so that when you get up in the morning and your child says, you know, Mommy, I don't feel so good. And you say, well, what's wrong? Well, my stomach bothers me. Is it something that you ate last night? Well, I don't know. Well, I tell you what, why don't you get up and worship and come downstairs and we'll make some breakfast and we'll see how that goes. And the child will look at you and they'll say, okay. And so you go downstairs and utilizing the knowledge that you have, you go out and you get some apple cider vinegar with the raw. Now, those of you who don't know what that is, don't be surprised. But they call it with the mother, with the raw, but it's just the natural ingredients of the apple cider vinegar itself and the sediment residue. And don't be discouraged when you see sediment, because it serves a purpose, okay? So your child comes downstairs and you have some water boiling and maybe a nice bowl of oatmeal and fresh fruit, and they sit at the table and they're holding their head, and you walk over to them and you got to say, here, open your mouth and take 2 tablespoons of this. So they open their mouth and they say, it tastes kind of sour sweet. I say, yeah, take another one. So take another one. And then they say, okay, Mommy, well, what was that? And she looks at you and says, well, that was apple cider vinegar. And he says, yeah, well, you know, I just woke up, I'm still hungry. She said, I know, but I'm going to give it a chance to get down in your stomach. And you walk over to the stove, and he's sitting there. And all of a sudden, he looks at you, he says, well, what does that do? Well, children, do they ask the questions? And you say, well, that apple cider vinegar, once it gets into your system, it neutralizes your acid in your stomach so that your stomach may be making too much acid overnight. So you just feel a little discomfort. And if that's the case, then in a few minutes, you should feel better. And he said, oh, I didn't know that. Knowledge is a powerful thing. So you get the oatmeal, you come over to the table, you put it down, you add a little bit of honey to it, and he's sitting there and he's looking at you and you're whipping the honey up, and then you want to add a little something extra to it. You're saying, now I got some oatmeal, I got some berries, I add a little honey. Oh, wow, here goes some walnuts. Let me crush some of these up. And he crushed the walnuts up, and he says, you know what, Mommy? I feel better. And you look at him and you smile. You say, you do? He said, yeah. And that smells good. I want some of that. And you just could smile at him and say, here, this is for you. Enjoy. And he looks at you and smiles. And as you walk across the kitchen, you say to yourself, a small holistic remedy. That's all it took, was a little bit of knowledge to help the child feel better. See, these are the tools that we need to learn to operate in order for us to be able to face our circumstance, in any circumstance, with courage. Because literally, that is one facet That's following your heart. And in following your heart is warm because you see the solution. It's a powerful thing. So let's look at courage from another standpoint. What if you are in the garden and you're doing your pruning and everything, and this is a community garden, and someone comes and says, you know what, you cut down my last group of cauliflower. And you said, well, no, I didn't cut down your cauliflower because that was over here, and I cut it out of my patch. Well, no. Well, now you begin to realize this person is making an astute statement of something that is yours. So do you have the courage at this point to stand up for your right? You know it's yours. Now, you could submit and just give it to him and your family not have those greens that day. But understand the important role that greens play in the nutrition of the body, and you don't want to make that sacrifice. And all of a sudden now, you're being confronted by someone in your group, and you really don't want to have a riff. So you must be firm, and you must be courageous. And you must say, you know, I would ordinarily share this because there would be more than enough, but there's not that today. These came from the areas in which I planted. Now, when they resprout, you're more than welcome to enjoy whatever comes out of the next growth. But this, today, will feed my family. You see, that's standing up for your right. That's another aspect of courage. And these are all the things that will come to play in a community. And the reason being is because we have been tainted. We have been taught deception. Yeah, absolutely. You name it, from the TV to the radio, to our interactions, to our work every day, to our interacting with people we know and we don't know. We have been taught deception. And in most cases, we have accepted the terms of deception. Because sometimes it's easier to say, look, I ain't even going to worry about it, or walk away. But other times, you literally have to make a stand. Deception is when someone uses words that they don't mean in order to attain something for you that they have no right to have. Deception is taking something that is not yours from someone you don't even know based on some words that had no meaning at all. You see, society teaches us deceptions on so many levels. It's not about trying to cover them all. But it is about letting us know that there is going to have to come to a point in which we have to be true to our words. Absolutely. So if I say to you, I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to be at work by 8:30, and I'm there at 7 o'clock in the morning, I kept my word. But if you ain't ready to go, and all of a sudden you're coming downstairs 7:30, and we get to work and it's 8:45, and we're late based on you, then literally, I have to make some decisions. And the reason being is because you put me in a situation where you may not have meant what you said and put no priority on it. But I meant what I said, and I put a priority on it. And that's cool if you live like that. But I won't be picking you up no more. You see what I'm saying? So we have to operate for our best advantage. Okay, we'll pick up on that after the commercial.
Yes, Brother Davis. Great, great. You know, everyone, Doc Hawkins is going to be joining. Doc, you could just put yourself in queue. Just hit *61. See you in queue. We'll bring you up as soon as you come in. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network on Wise Wednesdays. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network for live programming schedules. Visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Ah! Put your bad self
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. I do want to remind you that we're expecting Dr. Hawkins to call at any given time. And when he does, we're going to render him the floor so he can give us updates on what's going on in Flint, Michigan. But in the meantime, let's get back to courage. Okay, now, we've understood several things now about courage. Courage will make you push yourself to a point in which you literally have to shake the fear and act. Do something that's not comfortable to you. Other times you have to follow your heart. That's what I say when I reference to the holistics. So when we follow our hearts, we could literally learn the things that are holistically will help us in our circumstance so that we can not only perform as an individual, but we can perform for ourselves. And I took you to understanding the importance of forthrightness and standing up for what is right. You see, you never really get to a point of forthrightness until you either choose to do the right thing or you have to make a statement that deals with your perception of the right thing. And all of that is good, because it allows you to expand who you are. We also have to understand that a lot of times we face the decision of courage when it's out of our control. You see, if a person is suffering, we have to have courage. We have to have the courage to give them the energy that they need to get through a circumstance. And in doing that, it may require a lot more than we are prepared to give. I mean, you think mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, all of these things may be in operation at one time. You see, when I say in operation at one time, I mean one at another, one at a time, boom, 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 but just... it's always something. You know how the programs are. So when you don't have control, you have to be subjective. But in being subjective, you don't have to submit. That's where courage comes in. And you have to make the decisions at the time that they have to be made according to your, and understand how I say that, according to your rational process. Because in reality, the only person who knows what is best for you is you. And in order for you to know what's best for you, you must learn about yourself. And once you learn about yourself and you're mindful of self, you're what's called loaded for bear. Because you will find yourself to be a more happier person. And why do I say that? You got all this burden about being courageous, being able to organize yourself so that you can make the decisions that are best suited for you in any given circumstance. That sounds like a lot of work. Well, it is when you look at it as work. But when they become attributes of your character, that's just who you are. And you see, we're trying to build ourselves to withstand anything that comes. For those of you who have known me and have done, listened to my show, you've heard me say a million times at least If you do not believe you can achieve the impossible, you will never achieve the impossible. Now, some of you have already put a limit on impossible. Well, how is it impossible if you can limit? That is why it's so important for us to have the courage to make the decisions that are best suited for us and our circumstances. We must have the courage that when this starts to roll into America, and all of a sudden your neighbors are coming home with their looking at the ground, and you say, hey man, what's wrong? I lost my job today. They told me to come back when they call me. Oh,
one
man, it's going to get better.
Yeah, yeah. One second, Brother Davis. Let me make sure Doc isn't here. Doc Hawkins,
okay.
Are you in queue? You can just speak up now if that's you that's there.
That's me, Yvonne Jackson.
Okay.
One
sec.
Is that Brother Doc?
I don't know. If you're Doc Hawkins, only speak up. Is that Doc Hawkins?
Huh?
Is this, I'm waiting on, is this Dr. Hawkins? No, that's okay. Okay, yeah. Doc Hawkins is in it. Sorry about that. Just heard from Doc. He should be coming in any moment. So, but go ahead, Brother Davis. I'll let you know when he's in.
Okay, not a problem. Okay, let me take you to a point of understanding courage. Now, what do you mean, understanding courage? Courage is something that lies within us all. Do we tap into it? A lot of people don't. Can you tap into it? Absolutely. Do some people avoid it? Well, as much as they can. But in reality, where we are moving to now, we have to use everything to our advantage. And in using it to your advantage, you got to be able to summon it when you need, and you got to have the words to convey it. And conveying courage may be through a physical action. It may be through a verbal action. And remember now, your words only have power when you mean them. So you must be very careful about your words unless you're prepared. Okay? And it may be through a reluctance. And the reason why I say it may be through a reluctance, because sometimes when you're dealing with a loved one, it requires courage. Now, for those of you who know, I've been married for 30-some-odd years. I've been with, 33 years, and I've been with my wife for 35 years. Well, sometimes there are situations that require courage of me, okay? Now, my wife is an outdoors person, okay? She don't mind going fishing, ties her own hooks, put her own worms on, catch her own fish, pull them out. Yes, I'm telling you that. So, literally, sometimes when I see that she might have a little more than she can chew, I say, hey, Erica, you want me to do that for you? Well, no. You know what I'm doing. I do it myself. But, Erica, that's rather big. Or that's rather, that might be requiring her to use muscles that she don't ordinarily use. Whereas a man's body is designed to do that sort of thing. Okay? So I don't want to step on her toes, and I want her to enjoy the experience. But I think in my mind, it may be a little bit too much for her. See, that also requires courage. So we have to understand that we must have the flexibility to be able to flow, ebb and flow in every circumstance. Because as this economy changes, you're going to build relationships. And some of those relationships are going to be founded on good, solid ground, and some of them are not. And you have to be able to distinguish and be able to make the decisions based on what your needs are. And that may require you to be courageous. So let's organize where we are now. We know that as these things begin to come, and we begin our preparation process, and we got our groups, and we're doing our organization, and we're talking about different aspects of what needs to be done, what the supplies are, how much of the supplies are, how much we can add to them over the period of time that's available to us. What are the specialty tools that you have? Because see, I'm going to tell you something. If you have an axe and I have a bandsaw, I'm not going to tell the next neighbor to go out and get an axe, to get a cutting tool. I might say, you know, it'd be better if you have a digging tool, okay? And then he might get a spade shovel. You see what I'm saying? And then the next, I might say, it'd be best if you get a hoe. Because, understand, these tools are going to have multiple uses. So, therefore, you want to be able to use tools to make tools. And you also want to be able to get tools that don't require a lot of maintenance in order for them to work at peak efficiency. So, when we have these meetings and we're sitting down and we're talking about what it is we have and what can be used and what can't be used, what requires an energy source, what is that energy source? Is it gas? Is it electric? Is it kerosene? See, these things all become vital parts of the whole when you're building a group that plans for a long, should I say, lengthy time extension. Now, the reason why I say lengthy time extension is because as your group becomes more cohesive, you can expand yourself more and more, okay? So in expanding yourself more and more, what do I mean? Well, what if this person has a big yard, but yet this neighbor over here has seeds? Are you starting to see this vision now? What if this person over here has a shovel, this one has a rake, and this one has a hoe? You see, these tools become vital to the community. And there can't be a back and forth about them, no. Everybody's responsibility is to keep that tool in peak working efficiency so that when it's needed, the need can be met. See, we have to have the knowledge to be able to plant the seed, get the product out the ground. Once we've got the product out the ground, pull off the fresh seedlings, and then reuse them through a drying process. Is that Dr. Hawkins? Okay, when I say reuse through a drying process, I mean we take the seedlings from the fresh plant, because that's the one that we're harvesting, and we're going to dry those seedlings so that we can get another plant from the fresh seeds. And you see, this is called seeding. Okay, is that you, Dr. Hawkins?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is Brother Davis. I want to welcome you to the Tando Show. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I'd like to bring to you attention right now. Dr. Hawkins has come into the queue, and he is going to take the floor right now and give us some update on Flint and whatever information that he could offer. We appreciate. I don't know if we're going to have time for questions and answers, but if so, he'll address that. Dr. Hawkins, you have the floor, sir.
All right. Thank you much, Brother Davis. Peace to you, your wife, David Lynn, peace to you. Well, my people, you might want to sit down for this one. I think it was Sunday night I was speaking to a councilman there in Flint. And so far, I've spoken to 5 of the 8 council people there. And most of them are on board. But the councilman that I spoke to Sunday said that the feds were doing an investigation into this whole thing, and you probably have heard that they were recovering certain emails. They subpoenaed certain emails for a lawsuit that was being filed. And I'm assuming that these two are connected, but what the gentleman actually stated was that they had found emails, the city council did, the mayor's office, recovered some emails from state officials stating that they needed to take out certain members of the city council because they were a problem. Now, the way that this was put to me is, this was taken as a death threat. So you have brothers and sisters there on the city council in Flint that need not only protection from some real security sources, but they need protection from you and I. And we need to keep track of these brothers and sisters and make sure that they don't get disappeared into a black hole. And I hope y'all can really hear what I'm telling you. We have here what seems to be a war between the state government and the city government of Flint, the elected officials there on the city council.
Dr. Hawkins, you mean to say that this may be a lot more indulging in reference to the government levels than they're projecting? Or has someone done something so underhandedly that now people are starting to shut up in order to cover up?
Well, the way that I'm seeing it is that certain individuals within the city council oppose the tyranny, the oppression, and the iron fist, if you will, of the federal government and the mayor when he appointed the emergency manager. And because of that resistance posed by certain city council members, they have been targeted, for lack of a better word, and to be as direct as possible.
So this sounds like it's a hostile takeover by one area of the government on another. Let me ask you this here. These people that are initiating this takeover, do they look like us, or not, or are they different?
Well, the minions look like us, but the folk who were really taken over do not look like us. And it's well known amongst the city council and others that this is the worst form of gentrification, and that there are certain efforts being made to push the black folk out of the city, so that they can rebuild it and jack up the prices to the point where they can't come back in. Now, I personally have seen this type of thing before here in Texas, where the feds and the local sheriffs were within a hair's breadth of a shootout with each other. And the mainstream news didn't cover it, but it was one heck of an ordeal, I can assure you.
Doc Hawkins, Dave, I got a question really quickly, and then hand it back to Brother Davis. This is whenever you have – this is an agenda that we've been talking about for a very long time, and how they are going to manipulate and try to move people where they want them to go. When this first happened, I knew that this was something where they wanted those people in Flint to move for the reasons of the land that Michigan, the strategic importance of Michigan at hand. And we're starting to see where threats are being made where they're no longer being threats. There are actual operations that are going on. You've seen it, high-profile operations in the, in the current events that you've seen today. So this is something that is more expansive than what the controlling factors want people to know, because this is also going to speak about other events and other things that are going on throughout the whole country. Are you seeing some of that, Doc? And are you would you agree with that, or what is your take on that? Is this something that is we're talking about the expanding of this type of policies and procedures and objectives, or is this just it was just because of Flint?
Well, you know me, Dave. to be completely candid, I think it's far worse than that.
Yeah, I do too.
Because there are other things that I can't disclose right now.
Yeah.
For sake of the safety of the men and women there in Flint on the city council, and that are a part of certain grassroots organizations. But I will say that there are a number of folk watching. I had reached out to a number of my contacts as well who have the capacity to provide the necessary security for everyone involved. And I will say this as well. I know for a fact that the Nation of Islam are now also involved, and they are doing some good work as well. And certain members of the Nation of Islam know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'll just leave it at that. But the reason that I say that I believe that it's worse, in part, is because it's not just gentrification.
No.
They wanted to wipe these people out and see just how indifferent the rest of the black community across the nation really has become to our own suffering. So when you look at the whole thing with the broad scope, at least from my view, what you'll notice is that there were state officials that I know of about 10 months ago that were bragging via email and phone conversations to some of the local residents, black and white, but especially black, disproportionately so, that no one would come to help them. Now, when you look at the recent developments, and I say recent meaning, you know, the last 6 to 8 months, you'll notice that that, for the most part, has held to be true, except for, you know, certain grassroots organizations and individuals who were kind enough to donate bottles of water, which are really just a Band-Aid. But it's still a great humanitarian effort. But you can tell that they meant what they said and they meant to follow through. So when someone tells my people, no one's coming to help you, the way that I take that is if we are, you know, the message is we are deliberately going to wipe you out. And your people and the rest of the world are so indifferent, they're not going to give a darn about what happens to you, and we're going to prove it. That's the way I feel. Now, you know the situation is bad when the Black Chamber of Commerce, for the most part, is acting afraid. And I know this firsthand, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, as it stands right now, it seems like this is an elongated plan of gentrification through this so-called Agenda 21, which I bought to the Tando Radio family about maybe two and a half months ago. Now, at that particular time, I had no idea of the magnitude of Flint. And now that I see it as clearly as you stated it today, we can expect this to probably pop up again and again, over and over. What's your opinion on that, Doc?
Well, I would definitely say that's a fair assessment. As you know, Brother Davis, there were articles written that 18 cities across Pennsylvania, in the state of Pennsylvania, tested higher for lead than Flint. Now, one of my colleagues who lives there stated that as he and his wife were driving, they noticed that the city was digging up their pipes and replacing them. And they're doing so in a number of cities there in Pennsylvania. And the view of that is that in light of this Flint situation, they are changing their pipes. The state of Pennsylvania changing their pipes across the board so that, as a means to prevent this sort of intel from surfacing in Pennsylvania across the state that has surfaced in Flint in the surrounding areas. So, yeah, it's pretty bad, my people. And for those of you who are in different states or different cities that you know aren't receiving the donated filters, the donated NASA filters that my colleagues and I bring to the table, we have under the sink filters, the NASA filtration systems, the patented systems for $400. And you can check those out. www.ancientwaterrestoration.com. Again, that's www.ancientwaterrestoration.com. We also have whole house filters and industrial filters for small, medium, and large businesses as well. So please check that out. Look under NASA filtration systems. They're termed super filters by NASA, the United States Air Force, the Department of Energy, the EPA, and other such organizations. So if you feel the need to prepare, I would strongly suggest, no matter where you are in the states, that you purchase one of these filters.
Now, brothers and sisters, I've done the research on some of the filtering systems out there, and believe me, this is more than reasonable, what he's offering, one. Two, we've also found out that literally this is not something new. This has been going on for a while in several different, should I say, urban areas. We also understand, by the way, let me run this here question by you, Doc. Is there a chemical that they could put in the water that takes the protection, the protective coating off those lead pipes and expose the lead directly to the water?
That has been asserted to be true. In fact, there are certain things right now that I wish that I could say about that, but what I'll say is this: they could completely do away with any level of protection that's associated with any of those pipes, just with the push of a button that controls certain valves that opens and releases certain chemicals into the water.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, brothers, pardon me?
Real quick, Brother Davis, just wanted to piggyback on what you were saying. Doc, from your assessment, when you analyze the water and the filters that you have, the water is not only contaminated with lead, it's other particles, and there's other toxins that are in the Flint water in that area that's affected. It's not just the lead. Is that true, Doc?
Yeah, it's true. And from what I've heard by certain from certain government sources, the Legionnaires' disease has done just as much, if not more, damage than the lead in the pipes there in Flint and in the surrounding areas. And for the most part, they're keeping this on the hush. So, I think that people have some critically important decisions to make. But we all need water, and are we going to trust those who provide us with this tap water across the board to deliver safe water? Well, I'll let you be the judge of that, but I'm taking every measure that I possibly can to make sure that I'm as self-sufficient as possible when it comes to cleaning up my own water.
So true, and it's a powerful statement. One last question, Brother Davis. On your filters, Doc, the filters that and I posted everyone Dr. Hawkins' filters inside of Tando Radio Show directly from his page, so you can see everything that's there. You can go to Tando Radio Show and check out the filters that Doc has. You'll see a picture of NASA astronauts. You'll see a picture of two large, tall filters and nano ceramic filters. You'll see that. Doc Hawkins, the filters that you are working with and you've working together with other people to bring to market and bring to mitigate some of these problems. These filters are able to purify the things that you all were able to find or know of that are in the water, not only in Flint but in other places throughout the whole country. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And keep in mind that, you know, there was hundreds of millions of dollars spent into the research and development of these filters, including the nanofibers and et cetera. And to give you a hint of just how vastly superior this type of filtration technology is, in your mind's eye, visualize something, if you will. Visualize a 1/2 inch square. Look at something around you if you need to, but visualize a 1/2 inch square. Now, within that 1/2 inch square of these nano filters, you have over 3,500 square yards of nanofibers. 3,500 square yards of nanofiber within 1/2, actually less than 1/2 of an inch of nano filter material. It's that. It's really that advanced.
Doctor, this is Brother Davis again. Let me ask you this here. For those who are interested in getting these filters, what would be the turnaround time in reference to the reasonability to demand, so to speak?
Well, if you mean, for example, if we're going to run out soon, no. We, I have of these filters, whether they're the under-the-sink filters, the whole house filters, or the industrial filters. We can supply any demand. In fact, I'm having more shipped as we speak. I've already had a lot of orders placed, and you know, we're supplying them as fast as we can. And another thing, these filters are double pleated, y'all. Now, you can order the single pleated filters. I mean, you know, they're a bit cheaper. But the double pleated filters are like having, just say, for example, the under the sink filters. I throw in an extra filter. So rather than two, you have three. Each of these double pleated filters provide the protection of two regular single pleated filters that the elite government agencies use. So essentially, you're talking about six filters rolled into three. That includes the housings, the ranch, and everything else that you need to properly install these filters, and very easy to do so.
Okay, and one more question, Doc, and I know it's you've given them more than enough to think about, and I'd like to encourage everybody listening, if you're not in a position to get one, get with your group. Maybe you can get one in a central place where you all can have access to it to someone's home or whatever, but there is solutions for every circumstance. I do inquire you to incorporate and consolidate and bring your resources together, because the only people who are going to save us is us. We have an avenue here, and I'm going to tell you now, these filters are so unique that those who don't move within the next month or two are going to feel behind, like they're behind the eight ball. Not like they still can't do nothing, but in the different circles that I'm moving in now, I'm encouraging everybody. Because literally every water system in America can be victimized. And the sad part about it is that those consuming it would not know until after there's been showing some effects that could literally affect their lives. Dr. Hawkins, is there anything else you'd like to convey to our audience right now at this particular time?
Yeah, you know... consider this as well. These filters, they're called super filters by the government. They were inducted into the Space Foundation Hall of Fame. All right. Now, these were the older models. The newer models that I have right now, I had designed specifically for Flint. And to deal with that level of toxicity. So one thing I would encourage, another thing I would encourage us to do, and Brother Davis, you and I have talked about this, but I encourage people who are serious to reach out to Brother Davis, reach out to myself, and let's figure out a way that we can meet, you know, in the middle somewhere. And I can show you what these filters can do. You know, talking is great. Documentation is great, especially if it's, you know, the government's own documents, right, and patents and such. That's great. But when you see it for yourself, when you're able to test the water for yourself and see the water filtration systems work right before your eyes, that's a whole other ballgame. Especially if you are looking to invest, perhaps become business partners, joint ventures, or you know anything of the like. And I think that we should work towards setting up and creating this water purification plant that I keep telling our people about. We need our own, and we need some Godspeed. Once we get it set up, I know the people will support it, but in the meantime, there's a lot of people that simply can't see the vision. In 2014, I tried to tell people back then, hey, listen, it's going to boil down to water. It's going to boil down to water, man. I mean, there's no pretty way of saying that, right? I mean, sorry about that, but it's true. So now you're starting to see what I'm saying. States like Pennsylvania, and I highly suspect others are following suit. I heard that's the case. I can't confirm other states have been following suit just yet, but I do have a hunch, and I do have some decent intel on the matter. But we know for sure that Pennsylvania is following suit with removing the lead pipes. Well, actually, I can't even say following suit because the city of Flint hasn't even done it yet. But the point is that states like Pennsylvania are removing their pipes, and you have to wonder why. And if this whole ordeal didn't blow up from Flint, would they be changing out their pipes in Pennsylvania? Who knows? I very seriously doubt it. And it sounds like someone's covering their tracks. And I say that we as a people need to finally start preparing. The number one commodity we're going to need is water. Let's prepare. Let's pull together our resources like Brother Davis suggested, and let's make some real moves real fast.
Well, brothers and sisters, you cannot get it better than firsthand. At this particular time, you're looking at the amount of time that is left with the show. I want to personally extend my thank you to Brother Dr. Hawkins. I also want to let everybody know that my email address is blessed, blessedrdavis@aol.com. I will be entertaining concepts of collaboration in order so that we can get the vision off the ground. And the reason why I say I'll be entertaining is because I come with a limited resource, you come with a limited resource, if we can get 10 others with a limited resource, all of a sudden we have resource, and there's no title on what it's called. Thank you for everything, Brother Dr. Hawkins. Brother Dave, back to you.
My pleasure, brother.
Dave, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute myself. I kept hitting the wrong button. Doc Hawkins, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Doc, just want to thank you for coming on, and please keep us up to date. But just before we go from the show, there's a couple more questions I have, and it's so true. It's, you know, with Pennsylvania taking out their pipes, but see, that could be a facade. We really don't know what they're doing. The only real way that we can ensure that our overall families and our community is protected is how, Doc? How can we be sure that the infrastructure is still not contaminated or is not bringing toxified water to our homes? How can we absolutely be sure of that?
Well, I advocate, once and for all, purchasing the best water filters. I mean, whether they're whole house filters or under the sink filters, because now for me, one of the safest and most feasible methods would be to actually store water in very large tanks and set it up in such a fashion to where you can filter your own water, and there's a way to do so, and I'll get into that at another time. But to say, for example, we have tanks that can hold in excess of 17,000 gallons of water. So imagine then if we were to form communities with such tanks and we became self-reliant, if you will. Or rather, if you don't do that, but rather get with some of your neighbors, friends, loved ones, and invest in alternative means of treating your water, because at any moment, they could release those deadly toxins in the water, and once the damage is done, it's kind of late to, look back and say what you could have done.
Right.
It's an ugly situation all the way around. It's best to stay prepared.
You know, Doc, as you already know, and I know Brother Davis knows, and some of our listeners may know, that there has actually been currently, you will start to see the overall trail of events that are starting to unfold. We're actually having in New York State, where radioactive isotopes have been leaked into the water, tritium, and these sorts of things. And it's basically where we all have to start to be responsible for our overall sustainability exclusively. We cannot depend upon any organizations, anyone outside of your family and your overall community, because these people can isolate themselves to where they won't partake in the water source. And it's the water source is actually one of the most vulnerable. It's even more vulnerable than the power plants, because there is no form of protection, because we have open source water, and this is the reason why we really need to protect ourselves and our families and our community. And Doc, you know, an everyday filter from the store, from the general store, any name brand store, is not going to be able to mitigate these problems or to actually filter out these contaminants and these toxins. You know, it's not something that you want to skimpily think that you can go with some commercial form of filter to actually protect your family. And, you know, Doc didn't say that, but Doc is telling you that in so many words, so I'm going to bring it up so Doc can say it. Doc, a regular commercial filter does nothing for what these toxins that are saturating the water supply.
Well, you know, there are some good systems out there. However, when you deal with when you're dealing with the level of toxicity, let's say as the residents of Flint, Michigan are, those systems, you know, for the most part, most of them, they're not, you know, they're not going to help. I mean, you need the best. Now, at any rate, one of the things that I strongly suggest also is to perhaps network your filters together. If you have to install 6 filters to get the job done, do that. Right. But even then, for the most part, with certain chemicals and such and the radioactive isotopes, these aren't, I mean, they're just not going to do the job. In fact, I know what you mean, Brother Dave. Here in Texas, in a place called Savannah, in 2009, I got a call from the water district president. And, you know, after a long conversation or a series of long conversations, I finally got a water analysis report from her, and she didn't know what a water analysis report was. She had to drag it out of her employees. But when she finally got it, she sent it to me, and we found all types of radioactive isotopes in the water. And it was just one big mess. And what they did is they herded Native American families into this town that had a toxic creek running through it, you know. So, I mean, you're talking about being lab rats and experimentation. It's you know, it's a pretty gruesome thing. So, once again, what I advocate is don't take any shortcuts. Get the best. In fact, $400 is dirt cheap for these toxic filters. In fact, I threw in an extra one. You know, but I'm able to do so because I know the inventor. I know the NASA contractors that actually built these technologies, that patented the systems in the whole nine. So that old saying holds true, that it's not what you know, but who you know. And I know some people who are very, very, very wise when it comes to water filtration, and I have the best systems available on this planet right now for the cheapest price. So there you have it. I just say invest wisely.
Yeah. Doc, what's the life expectancy of the filters that you all are providing? Because I know it's you have a great redundant system where, you know, most your filters have actually are what you would say are even reinforced more by even more filters, because you were saying that your filters have actual 6 filters. And so why is that so beneficial? And What's the life expectancy for the filters that you have, Doc?
Well, the life expectancy depends on the size of the home, the
yep.
number of people
yeah.
living in the home,
right.
and the amount of water that they use. But for the most part, just for a general idea, if you let's say, for example, if you have a family of four, two adults and two teenagers, I would say that these filters would last you roughly 8 months.
Right.
You know? And on top of that, the extra cartridges are a heck of a lot cheaper. You know, so
yeah.
you can get extra cartridges for $80 a piece. All right, so
that you know, if you really think about that, you're going to spend way more than that monthly in buying bottled water when the bottled water is just as contaminated. The key is to bring clean, living water to yourself and your family. And you notice, Doc, I know that you've noticed, I've noticed in so many places as I travel that people are starting to have a very unhealthy radiance in their skin, in their overall aura. And I firmly believe that is from the toxins that are in the food, but mainly in the water, because to actually, if you really want to have a depopulation, a soft kill program, the best way to do it is through the water, because it will be absorbed through the biggest organ on the body, that being the skin. And this is pennies on a dollar for your overall health and your family's health.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, no doubt about it. You know, as a matter of fact, we'll be having our certain specials that will include even deeper discounts. Now, keep in mind, there are bulk discounts. So if you purchase one of the systems, you know, you'll and you wanted extra cartridges, you'll receive a discount for that. And also keep in mind that I'm throwing in an extra filter. For the under sink filter, the filtration system. And so with that extra filter, you're going to get at least, you know, 2, maybe 3 months of extended lifetime with the filtration system.
Great. Doc, we have 2 minutes. 2 minutes left, and I just want you to give out your information where people can reach out to actually purchase the filters or to go to the GoFundMe campaign that you have for the people of Flint, because Doc is donating water filtration, some of the water filtration systems to the people of Flint. Doc, where can everyone find you? And it's so important, before you answer that, it's so important, I want you to speak again about the collaboration, because this is what we've been always been talking about since we've been on air. It's so important that we establish our individual groups that we can come together and collaborate for the things that we need. And what's some of your plans with that? Because I know everything is, it's fluent as we speak right now, and things are happening very fast. And I anticipate that there are going to be many more communities that are going to find themselves in a position where they need real solutions, water filtration solutions, and the resources that Doc has is going to actually be in high demand. So, Doc, where can everyone find you, and how can, and what's some of your plans for the collaboration?
Well, thank you very much. I can be reached at www.ancientwaterrestoration.com. Again, that's www.ancientwaterrestoration.com. You can also give me a call if you wish, 281-591-9426. Again, that's 281-591-9426, ancientwaterrestoration.com. And well, I'll say this here. We put together a list for those that we're, you know, donating filters to there in Flint. And the list is not completely full yet. We're having to weed people out. You know, people contact me and they're lying, and you know, they have you know, maybe a husband in the house or something like that that works, and you know, they're trying to get a free filtration system. And what we're really trying to do is reach out to the elderly and to the single mothers who, you know, can't fend for themselves, that have, you know, 4 children, 3 children, or whatnot. And, you know, we look out for the brothers as well. But to say, for example, there is a household with a young man in it that's capable of working and they need a filter. What we'll require is that that gentleman help install a few other filters for others within the community. So our motto at this time is share and share alike.
Doc, we're going to have you back on. The show is ending. So important that we do have you back on so that we can continue to get this word out. And it's, you know, Doc, we talked earlier today, and it was something that we said, a lot of people don't move until it adversely affects them. Well, this is something that is going to adversely affect us all, but that also needs to be tempered by the willingness to help others that are in this predicament so that they can actually help you in the future, because that's the thing about helping, is that it can be cross-pollinated to where it can also protect and encompass you and your family. So important. Doc Hawkins, thanks so much, Doc. Tomorrow or Friday, if you want to come back on, no problem. Just reach out or just call in at any time, because this is really, really important, and we have to get moving on these things, because we are definitely in the age of Noah, where we need to protect ourselves and our family and our community, because there is a target where that has been placed on us, and they are actively engaging. This operation has been green-lighted. So thank you, Doc Hawkins. Much love, much respect to you, and we will talk to you in the very near future, God willing. Okay, everyone, that's the show. We have a new Abolitionist Radio coming on after Tando Radio Show. And remember, it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And before you ask for a blessing, to make sure to be a blessing. Much love and much respect. Thanks, Brother Davis. Thank you, Dr. Hawkins. Let's stay in contact, and we will definitely get these things done. Much love, much respect. Peace.
Much love. Peace.
Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing.